International Break Koshcast. Why? We're not sure, but why not? This week, we've got more moo-moos than a field of cows. There's Ukrainian in being homophobic shock, Ryan Giggs feeling entitled, Enna Valencia not giving what's entitled, and a Norwegian manager who has completely lost his damn mind. Elsewhere, we'll touch on the international qualifiers, if any of us can remember what they're for, and get stuck into an extended quiz segment attached to an exciting announcement. Join us, and by the end of the pod, we guarantee that we'll all be nearly an hour closer to the return of club football. Welcome to the International Week episode of the Koshcast. My name is Alex, and like a southern family with a trailer, we have got a very full house today. Mohamed, you're looking stunned.
I didn't see that coming, that's all.
They never do, for sure.
Yeah, that's quite something, Alex.
Thanks.
A trailer.
Bernie, you're looking slightly more on the ball.
That's only because you've made me smile with that one. Oi. So good job.
Well, that's what we're all here for. Hope you're all well. We're going to try and talk about football in a week where not too much has happened.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people just really, really vent about the international break.
Yeah.
Honestly, a whole conversation about trailer parks and incest would be more fun than that.
And there you go. No, you've heard it officially. Incest, more fun than international football.
Wow.
It's a visual, ladies and gentlemen. But actually, before we get into it, we've got an exciting announcement to make. Who wants to make it?
I'll try.
All right.
Rashid put his hand up.
Too late, though.
Yeah.
I should have buzzed in.
You should have buzzed in. But yeah, what we're planning on doing is a pilot quiz night at a nearby pub here in Toronto. Betty's, to be more specific, for those of you listening locally. And it's an idea where we thought, you know, we'll bring the community a bit more together. Right now, what we do is blogs and podcasts and that, and we don't really interact with people face-to-face, and we thought this would be a great idea.
Yeah, we're just holed up in someone's basement when we podcast.
Yeah, so there's no audience or anything like that. And we thought, you know what, we'll try this pilot quiz, and if people like it, we probably will do more, maybe monthly or so.
Yeah, of course. And so if you really think that you guys have some trivia knowledge with football and want to show off, get some teammates out, there are prizes to give away. So by all means, November 2nd, get out there, show us what you got.
Oh yes, cash prize. Yeah, everything is on the November 2nd, Betty's. Big cash prize. Yeah.
So King Street, I mean, you got us to sign up on the Facebook event, which you'll find through our Facebook page.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to seeing all the people that think they know more than us.
Yeah.
We'd love to see that.
This is something that we'd want to go to, and no one's done it. So all right, let's do it ourselves. And we don't get to participate, which is a shame.
But it has been fun putting some of these questions so far together. I mean,
absolutely.
You do test your knowledge a little bit because we're trying to make up questions off the top of our head as opposed to, like, you know, Googling them, which just, you got to know the answer to them almost to kind of ask them. So it's been fun.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And one last detail. As you've probably heard over the last few episodes, we now have a sponsor, which is Open Sports, the Open Sports app. We've told you about it. It's an app where you go join, download, and you can join in other people's games, create your own games, and go and play football with like-minded people where you live. And they're going to sponsor the quiz night too, which is fantastic. So there'll be more details about that on the night. But for now, why don't we get into our own little quiz here?
Let's do it.
All right, welcome to the quiz. This week, brought to you by a name that Bernie picked, Christophe de Gury.
That's very good. Thank you for the credit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, you guys ready?
Oui, oui.
All right.
See.
Who were the only team to win the FA Cup and be relegated in the same season?
That was easy.
Wigan. Wigan.
Good job, that's correct.
Ah, yes.
All right, sticking with the Wigan theme, which four players have scored 15 or more Premier League goals for Wigan Athletic? Bernie.
Hugo Rodriguez.
Correct. He has 24 goals. Alex.
Amezaki.
Amezaki only with 10. Bernie.
Emil Heskey.
Correct. 15 goals. Riche.
Charles Nzagbia.
Correct. 15 goals. We've got one more.
Oh!
Alex.
Henri Camara.
Well done. Get in. Good stuff, guys. So that's Rodriguez on 24, Camara on 20, Heskey on 15, and Nzagbia on 15. All right. Moving on. Who holds the record for most goals scored in a single World Cup?
That was easy.
Richet.
The French guy.
What is his name?
Platini.
Podcast. No.
What?
Alex.
Jean-Pierre Papin.
No.
What?
But it's a French
in one World Cup or Euros?
Yeah, in one World Cup. In a single World Cup.
Yeah, it has to be Platini.
No, 13 goals in a single World Cup.
Gerd Müller.
Nope.
He's not French.
French?
Yeah, but like I thought he was just making stuff up.
Okay, so he's French.
Just Fontaine.
Oh, 58, that's right.
58 World Cup, 13 goals.
That was literally right. A fountain of goals.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Müller, Pelé and Ronaldo were my A, B and
that's
C.
Right, that's right, Just Fontaine. Good question. Okay.
Thank you. All right, next. In the early 1990s, Jose Mourinho worked as an interpreter for which manager?
Sir Bobby Robson.
Well,
got him.
All right. Next, name four teams in England.
Okay, Manchester
and Chelsea. Official name, right? Who start with the same letter as they end with? Bernie.
Liverpool.
Correct. Three more to go. None of them are in the top flight right now.
Annoying. Aston Villa.
Correct. Those are the only two you guys will get. One of them is something
Liverpool,
athletic.
Aston Villa, Charlton Athletic.
Okay, aww, correct.
Come on.
I know. Because he hasn't got it wrong yet.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one has town at the end, but you know. A direction and then town.
South Town.
Nope.
Northampton Town.
Yes! Well done. Good stuff. All right, so that's four of them. Liverpool, Aston Villa, Charlton Athletic,
and Northampton Town. For the record, let that be.
One you stole from Alex, which he buzzed in for.
Hey,
it's okay.
Hey. I still knew it.
All right, here's the next one for you guys. Cristiano Ronaldo became the fourth footballer to be represented as a waxwork at Madame Tussauds in London. Name the previous three. Bernie.
Pelé.
Correct.
Maradona.
But, no. Alex?
David Beckham.
Correct. One more.
Eric Cantona.
Wrong, Richey. Bernie?
Diego Maradona.
Wrong.
I saw Cantona.
Hang on.
No. Cantona's after Ronaldo. These are the three.
Oh,
Bernie?
Bobby Charlton.
Nope.
Hang on, what we've got so far?
We've got Pelé, Beckham, and then obviously Cristiano. So we've got one more that came in there before Cristiano.
That was easy.
Richey.
Figo.
Nope. Bernie.
Lionel Messi.
No. Alex.
Bobby Moore.
No.
Thierry Henry.
No. All right, I'll give you
this. Ridiculous.
He's English.
Of course he's English.
That was
Richey.
Easy.
Alger.
No. Alex.
Matthew Upson.
No.
What?
What's his name? Gaza.
No.
Gary Lineker.
No.
Wait. Michael Owen.
No, he plays in midfield, center mid.
Wait, why'd I do that?
David Batty.
No.
Brian Robson.
No.
That was easy.
He plays in midfield right now.
Right now, yeah. Not in the league anymore, though.
Steven Gerrard.
Yes!
Get it!
Hey, that was fun!
What do you mean?
That's an absolute disgrace. Steven Gerrard!
So Gerrard, Beckham, Pelé, and then Cristiano was fourth. Alright. Name a player whose surname is the same as part of the name of his team's home ground.
Come on. Well,
I'll give you hints. His surname...
Yeah.
It's part of his team's home ground.
Okay.
Is this in the Premiership?
Yes. And I'll keep giving you hints. It's in a London club. And he doesn't play for them anymore. He plays in defense.
I no longer care.
Fine, tell me names of stadiums in London. And I'll tell
you. Stamford Bridge.
Yes.
One?
Birdie.
Stamford. Wait, what? You said midfielder?
No.
Oh, defender. No longer plays. Yeah. Defender. Oh, never mind.
Alex, say it again.
Stamford Bridge.
Okay. His surname.
Wayne Bridge.
Yes! Like, you literally said Bridge.
Wayne Bridge has been extra on my mind for a long time. I was thinking Stamford
Bridge. That's what his wife.
Not John Terry's mind, though.
That's what his wife said, too.
Yeah.
No. All right.
Here's one. Richey, you should really get this one.
Wow.
Why did India withdraw from the World Cup in 1950?
That was easy.
They didn't want to wear shoes.
Yeah, they weren't allowed to play barefoot.
Whoa.
Yeah.
To explain, go on.
They wanted to play barefoot.
That's
right.
It was the 1950 World Cup. They qualified. They wanted to play barefoot, and they got disqualified.
By the way, there are a lot of people who will tell you that barefoot football is better.
Yeah, but you can't. Like, you can't. Safety wise.
As a child, and I put this on our thread the other day, I actually played a lot of barefoot soccer. And years later, when I got hit by a car, other story, we can talk about that at quiz night if you want.
No. Okay.
But they x-rayed me and basically found all these chipped bones that re-healed themselves from barefoot soccer.
So when you say that barefoot soccer is better.
Yeah, it's
not.
If only if you get hit by a car.
Well, we say you have more control over the ball.
I hate it. Anyways,
okay. I don't know. I like it.
Last question. Which referee was the focus of Chelsea's rage
That was easy.
Tom Henning, Overbow.
Well done.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. As they were beaten by Barcelona.
To be fair, they actually chased him out of the game.
That was the famous five-handball.
Did you see Balak?
Yes.
Like, oh, my.
Oh, and also Drogba at the end when he's like, that's a fucking disgrace. Yeah, like he's just yelling at the camera. That was really bad.
They were within their right to do that.
All right, so well then, guys, that's some good quizzing.
Who knows what the score is? No? No.
I won.
Ah, okay. Right.
Let's talk about qualifiers because we have to.
All right.
And they haven't
do
been that...
really?
Yeah, they haven't been
but
the worst.
Why?
But listen. Ecuador beat Chile 3-0. Which is
surprising.
Well, there's a few things here in the background. Chile, for some reason, arrived by plane 4 hours before the game only. Mm. They were playing at 2,800 feet, blah, blah, blah. They're using these as excuses, but, you know, it's their own fault.
And
listen,
no time
listen,
to acclimatize.
Nigeria arrived an hour before their Olympic game, and then they won it. So,
what, the final?
I'm sorry. Well, not
the
final.
Oh, I
the
thought
opening
the gold
game.
Medal.
So, I'm just saying, if we can do it,
everybody
is this Nigeria that didn't qualify for the African Cup of Nations?
No, Nigeria came third in the Olympics.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
must be an old Nigeria.
So
last one, you absolute bellend.
Ecuador absolutely decimated them 3-0. This is the one where we have one of our Mumus from. For Enner Valencia, which is amazing. He, you know.
Yes.
Anyways, so what happened was Chile are having a horrendous run. They're currently sitting in 7th in the table, which is, you know, only the top 4 qualify from the CONMEBOL, and the 5th gets kind of a playoff versus someone else.
Mm.
So I guess, to be fair, like, I mean, if you're relying on penalties to win all the time, it's hard to really win these qualifiers.
But then, just like you're saying, if you're Chile, right, and you look at Vidal, who always plays injured, Alexis Sanchez plays injured and is tired, they're probably like, you know what, we don't care right now. We won back-to-back Copas.
Yeah.
We want to actually not play injured.
I mean, it looks like they're not even going to make the World Cup at this pace.
They're
so.
Just kind of laying back, doing a bit of Netflix in Chile. And
No, there's a lot of games left, and I expect Chile to at least make that playoff spot.
I mean, if you look at other teams that are, you know, not where they should be, at least just on name, Argentina is currently sitting in 5th. Sure, they're only 3 points away from first, but, you know, above them is Colombia, Ecuador, Brazil, and Uruguay. So they drew with Peru, which is a game you'd expect them to win. They were ahead again. Funes Mori, Gonzalo Higuain scoring for them. And, you know, they keep letting it slip. No Messi, obviously, he's injured for them.
But this is why the South American qualifiers are like actually the only ones that I ever get excited about, because they're so much more meaningful. There's like one table,
yep.
There's half the table are actually very, very good teams. And the bad teams aren't even that bad.
Agreed.
It's just way more, it's so much more exciting.
Argentina started with a really exciting front three, actually. They played Higuain, Dybala, and Aguero.
They should never draw this game.
Yeah, no.
They have enough talent to win this game outright, and they didn't.
Mascherano, center back, is having a very dodgy season for Barcelona and for...
Is Otamendi fit?
I think it was Otamendi, Funes Mori, and Zabaleta all played, something like that. But Funes Mori, I know, played.
Ah, so for the better of mankind, Rojo did not make the
pitch. Actually, he might have left back. You never know. He always somehow makes it. Brazil absolutely decimated Bolivia 5-0. Neymar with a fantastic game again. He's his stats for Brazil are incredible.
Despite receiving that elbow.
Yeah. Just got absolutely body checked.
Right before an assist.
Yeah.
He could, just on stats alone, when his career is over, be the greatest Brazilian player.
Oh, he will be.
This
for
like,
sure.
It's very, very possible. Just on numbers alone.
Yep.
He's actually broken some records recently. The first to reach a 400 goals or 300 goals or something.
Like in his whole career.
Oh, for his age. Yeah
exactly. So,
yeah.
1 year before Messi, 3 years before Ronaldo did the same checkpoint.
Yes.
By the way, Lukaku is way ahead of all of them in terms of at the same stage.
How many goals?
Just want to throw that out there.
Check his birth certificate.
I have two things to bring up. On the Neymar thing, he's got so many goals. Mohamed, can you qualify that, though? Can you tell us what you tweeted the other day?
Yeah, so somebody brought up that he has more goals than Messi and Ronaldo at the stage, and I quoted the tweet and said, yeah, but none of Messi or Ronaldo played against unemployed farmers for 3 years.
Mm.
Messi was trying to do it in the Champions League and La Liga. So.
If you are Brazilian, at Mohamed89. The second thing that I wanted to touch on is Felipe Luis, who is having an absolutely brilliant season for Atletico Madrid and is now like doing Marcelo impressions for Brazil. Like he's absolutely playing out of his skin.
Yeah, and Mourinho thought he wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
So.
Another fantastic transfer decision brought to you by Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
Before we go on to we're still in Brazil. Okay, finish Brazil.
No, I was gonna say Coutinho played at number 10. He looked really good. Although he was wearing number 11, which is weird.
But again, he's playing against unemployed farmers, so...
Yeah, I mean...
Bolivians, at Bernie.
He just got my Twitter handle wrong. Thank you, God.
But yeah, so Roberto Firmino came on and scored the 5th as well.
He looks like a farmer, I'm just saying.
Yeah, he looks weird. Anyways.
Okay, I gotta get this out there because it's in my head right now.
Okay.
Is Gonzalo Jara, like, is he, he's the one that fondled...
Yeah,
it was a horror story. What's his name?
Yeah. So, I've had...
Cavani.
He's a... Can they put him down like Gonzalo Harambe, please? Like,
is Harambe's first name Gonzalo?
I mean, I hope so.
Oh, okay.
Because that makes a joke a lot.
I only know Harambe is Harambe, but Brady went deep, like, first name.
He went deep just like Jara.
Oh, all right, I think.
But I'm not sure how we got to Harambe from there.
Well, his name is Gonzalo Jara.
Harambe. Yeah, or he's Bay. But anyways... I think we're good there.
Sure.
Paraguay, Colombia beat Paraguay 1-0, so that puts them in really good standing as well.
A good question to ask is how long the commentator said goal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing 44 seconds would be...
Well, if there was nothing else that happened in the game, you want to make the most of that.
So yeah, Uruguay are at the top of the table with 19 points, Brazil second with 18, and then Ecuador, Colombia, and Argentina all drawn on 16, and then after that it's just shambles. Chile at 11. Yeah, Venezuela bottom of the table with 2. I mean, the only thing about Venezuela that I like is their kit. The color is brilliant.
Oh,
I love that, like, purple.
They were pretty good in the Copa, weren't they?
Yeah, they're actually. I don't think they're as bad as the table suggests, but
Which is why you like South American football.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I agree with Alex.
It's nice and rough. You know, they get stuck in.
Yeah, I mean, they don't play football, they fight.
Yeah. The other thing for Venezuela is that football is actually their third sport after baseball and beauty pageants. So, given that, they're doing all right.
Gotta stick to your strengths.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Europe. Let's see who we'll hit on here.
Everyone.
France beat Bulgaria 4-1.
Oh, Griezmann, bro.
Griezmann looked really good. Payet scored a goal as well.
You know how we talked recently about how Simeone getting Gamero and Griezmann together on the pitch was going to benefit France?
Yes.
I think we're seeing that.
Yeah, well, Gamero's taking over Giroud, and anyone that does that will, you know, do well.
Harsh.
Not harsh.
Has he gone back to hating on Giroud?
Yeah,
apparently.
After a wonderful Euro?
Apparently.
That's the first final.
I love it. He gets into this moment where he goes, you know what? I'm going to love you.
That's okay. We're going to talk about England.
But I hate you again.
Yeah. But just wait till we get on England and Wayne Rooney soon.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Netherlands finally won a game.
Hey!
So, well done to them. Janssen scored a really, really good goal.
It was quite good,
cracker.
I mean, Tottenham fans will be hoping he brings that form to replace Kane.
I mean, we can't wait for the future of Dutch football spearheaded by Janssen and Memphis Depay.
Did Depay play in this game?
He got called up to the squad again. So.
But did he play?
I don't know. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Holland actually looked good. Like, for the first time in so long. Like,
yeah.
Scored a bunch of goals.
Sure. But also Belarus.
It's a false dawn. Don't think of anything.
They're playing
in
Bulgaria, so.
It's a false dawn.
Sorry, not Bulgaria.
Belarus. Yeah. What else happened? Latvia, yeah. Portugal, 6-0.
Ronaldo, 4 goals.
Against the worst team in the world.
Well, Ronaldo scored 2 in 3 minutes.
I'll give him... Here's the thing. He scored like 4 goals against the worst team in the world. At first I was like, who cares? And then I thought about it. He scored 4 goals against UTCFC. You're probably good. So
it's the first time he's ever done it in an international stage. Scored a super hat-trick.
Nice.
Ronaldo has... Oh, here's a stat for Ronaldo. He has 40-something hat-tricks in his career or something like that.
42.
How many of them are just unemployed farmers?
And, 42 hat-tricks in his whole career, and Iniesta has like 56 goals in his whole career. Ronaldo's hat-tricks are more, almost more than Iniesta's goals.
Yeah.
That's quite something. Someone came back with a rebuttal saying...
Was it you rebutting yourself?
No. So, this was a whole Twitter thing. Someone said, well, Iniesta's trophy haul is almost as much as Ronaldo's age.
Good point.
Ronaldo's trophy haul is not bad if you look at United years added on top of it.
True.
Real Madrid is kind of bare.
Yeah,
dusty. With the league. Yeah, the league.
Germany beat Czech Republic 3-0. Toni Kroos with a brilliant Toni Kroos kind of goal.
Rochet, how would you describe it?
Carpet.
Yeah.
It was a carpet finish.
It was superb.
Recently, Bahadur and I were both on the soccer field together, and we reenacted the Toni Kroos finish.
We did, actually, and Rochet did a really good job of doing it. I thought it was going to go.
So you
really
studied
well.
It?
Yes.
And you put it into practice.
It's the one thing I can do if, like, really good on a football pitch.
I thought you could head the ball really well.
I can as well, yeah. But I'm trying to be modest.
If anything, he heads it way too much, which we're seeing the results of that.
By the way, can I just get some love here? Because I've had Shinji Kagawa, I've had Roberto Soldado, I've had some really bad experiences with players who I liked. Toni Kroos is the one that has proven all of you wrong. Please give me this one.
Definitely. Kroos he can have. I mean, he's 2 Champions League winners in 3 years. He's played really well as a defensive mid when he's not a defensive mid. Yeah, no, he's done a great job. And I think United would have benefited more by buying him than Pogba. Just saying.
Well, thanks for that.
Yeah.
That little right in the chest.
Yeah, David Moyes literally cancelled the deal.
Yeah.
He's an absolute...
Yeah. Thomas Müller scoring two goals, which is what he does. His stats for Germany are incredible.
You know what I love about Thomas Müller?
Everything.
Well, yeah. He celebrates every goal.
Like it's
so,
a World Cup
so vibrantly. Just, but not like Ronaldo. Like not like a prick. But he really feels that the goal's important. Yeah.
Did Manny Wadnoyer kick a ball into his own face?
I don't know.
This game?
This game, yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like he did, which was great.
Like out of boredom?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Arnautovic scored two goals for Austria to draw Wales 2-2. Obviously, no Ramsey for Wales. But they didn't look very good. They looked like they were definitely missing something in midfield. And, you know, there was a debate on Twitter that I saw today because as the game was going on, like, you could see that Wales' midfield was weak. And they were saying, Bale is definitely a better player, obviously. Like, he's more effective and stuff. But who do they miss more? And, you know, I think they'd miss Bale more. But it's just Ramsey brings something different.
Oh.
That, like, you know, Joe Allen tries to maybe make up for it or whatever. But I don't know. I think he's just as important as Bale.
Well, he did score a good goal, Joe Allen.
I don't know.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, no, I see what you're saying, but just as important, if you take Bale off that team, they do nothing. Yeah. If you take Ramsey off the team, you can manage the situation.
Yeah, true. Poland-Denmark was a great game. Poland beating them 3-2.
You don't sound too enthusiastic.
Well, I mean...
He never does, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I really am.
Like, when are you actually happy, man?
Never.
When Drew was on the bench and, you know, stuff like that.
No, but
Ozil assist.
Even for UTC when Mohamed scores.
There haven't been that many this season, so you know.
But we all remember Mohamed's lack of goal celebrations.
Yeah, even when I score.
Yeah, he's just unhappy that he scored.
No, but that's a mark of professionalism. You get on, you focus on the next one.
Yeah, it's always about the next game.
Yeah.
It's like Arsene Wenger's 20 years.
He just pissed off. He's like, I didn't curl it enough. Like, yes. What was that?
Yeah.
Can we... So Poland won 3-2.
And Lewandowski scored a hat-trick.
Yes. But Milik, who has been killing it for Napoli, has just got injured for the rest of the season.
Had a stroke.
ACL.
Yeah, he was my favorite player in the Italian league. and he's now dead.
Nice. Well, speaking of death, Rooney's career is heading
I think we did this on a pod once.
Yeah, we did. But
no,
it was,
we never aired.
But it was someone who actually died. It was Eusebio who actually died that week.
Yeah.
That was pretty...
Yeah,
it was a bad touch. It was, you know, left a bad taste in my mouth.
Moving on.
England beat Malta 2-0. Well done, guys. England keep bagging on
these. Garbage victory.
Yeah, like,
garbage.
Anyways, Daniel Sturridge scored, Dele Alli scored, and what's his name? Gareth Southgate played a really weird not weird, but he started a lot of random players that wouldn't have started if it was still Sam. I mean, I don't think Sturridge would have started. Walker wouldn't have started.
I mean, to be fair, if he took Rooney out of the side, that would free up two spots. So, a lot
in the
more
front
flexibility.
And the back.
Yeah. In front, yeah, exactly.
He had a horrendous.
He's so bad. He's so bad. But the worst part is seeing him just kind of strutting around the field, all passes going through him, and he's trying to, you know, link up the play, just firing passes at people
with the corner flag.
Yeah, just no.
I mean, the fans were booing him, and I think that's unfair. I think people.
Ooh, I don't know.
It's not about current performance. Yes, current performance is bad, but I feel people deserve a little bit of like. Respect in terms of their history a little bit. It's like when Wenger was booed. We get it because it's right now. But Rooney is the same situation. Like, the guy has done so much for England. And I'm sure, yeah, they didn't win trophies and stuff. But, you know, it wasn't on him.
I mean, there are a lot of players that have come through England. Beckham, all those types of people.
But, like, to boo Rooney that
with
vigorously.
Rooney, it's like,
Booney.
You know the analogy of a horse that you have to put down? Like, we've said that enough times.
Yeah.
And if you listen, like, to horse racing, it's a sad moment. People are not happy they have to put this horse down because it served them so well. It's the same thing with Rooney at both United and, in a sense, England, but not really.
Right.
Like, he was one of the top five players in the world at one point in time.
Yes.
Remember that, because England has not had a player like that in 25 years, maybe.
Yes.
So, he's shit now, but whatever. Like,
I agree with everything you say, just the booing. It's just...
It is a bit distasteful. If you look at it personally.
Sure.
The thing is, the thing that you have to remember, though, is that how else do the fans communicate their displeasure at him still being in the team?
Right.
So I'm not taking it as they're booing him,
personally.
The person, but they're letting England and Southgate and the FA and whoever else is influential know that this shouldn't still be happening.
Because
how else do you do it?
I mean, the problem is we know that England does this. I mean, they did it with Gerrard and Lampard. They did it to an extent with Beckham.
Yep.
And now they're doing it with Rooney. And we thought... A time came, I think it was, prior to the last Euros and the qualifying and stuff, where we started to see a bit of a younger England, and it started to say, all right, well, we're getting somewhere with this. They seem to have learned the lesson, but now they, you know, they're again with the Sruni thing, they're just two steps back.
It's the last remaining
thread.
Yes, but they need to, you know, rip off a Band-Aid instead of instead of slowly peeling.
They have to be brave. They have to be brave and basically tell Rooney, you're not going to play. Even if it's for him to just sit on the bench, be part of the squad because of leadership, yada, 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 whatever. They have to do that and sit him down. But what that's going to mean is they're scared, because England is always scared of, you know, can we let the youth just run around and do whatever? And will that mean that we're going to be pretty terrible for a couple of years? But you already are.
So, yeah, that's fair.
You know, might as well.
I mean, they could always just say, you know what, Rooney, you got to work your way back into the team. And I think he needs a motivating factor right now because he's not motivated.
There's another scenario where people are saying that they are letting him fail publicly so that it becomes extremely obvious
and easy
that he's
to,
not,
yeah.
that he can't do it. So when you actually take him out, you have evidence to say, look, we tried this.
But literally no one is gonna come back at him and say, why did you drop Brody? No.
No. I think we reached that critical point a while ago. Like, as back to the dead horse thing, we're just flogging it now. I mean, look at this game, right? You're playing Malta for a start, and 2-0 is rubbish.
Yeah.
But you've got Rooney and Henderson as your central midfield pair.
Henderson was good.
Ooh, Henderson was very good, but against Malta. But of the two, you would think Henderson is the, like, some destroyer defensive one, and Rooney is the creator. Henderson's passing was so much more incisive than Rooney's, it wasn't even funny. Mm. Like, he was actually breaking lines. Rooney was just giving it left and right, floating it out to a right back or a left back. Like, it's just, as you said, it's sad, but, like, it's so done.
It is.
Anyway.
I also want to point out, I know it's Gareth Southgate's first game in charge, but He made a statement that said, you know what, I don't understand the booing of Wayne Rooney. And my response to that was, I was a bit angry because I was thinking, well, this is Gareth Southgate speaking. The only good football he's ever seen is that being played against him. So I really don't understand where he's coming from.
Hey, that's still a lot of experience.
I'll tell you, to be honest, it's the same thing I tell Mohamed all the time. I don't like hating on people that I'm supposed to support. I won't do it, and to me, it doesn't make any sense. If that guy is playing on your team, support him, make your case some other way, because it's not going to help that player get any better.
Yeah, do it
Twitter
poll.
It's not going to make the coach take that player off. It's just not going to happen.
I mean, it might. I mean, he did it with Eboué.
Oh, yeah, Arsenal fans did manage to boo Eboué.
Literally off the pitch. It made him, you know, break down into tears, ask to be subbed, and I think, great result.
Well, yeah.
All right, let's move to, I mean, Italy played Spain as well. That was a big game, 1-1. Spain going
De Gea was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Was he? Brilliant. He was at fault recently for United.
Yeah,
Costa,
he was brilliant.
Costa scored the first goal when Buffon completely missed the ball.
Yeah. A lot of people were talking about this, you know, passing the torch nonsense, like, because of this game. It's not.
No.
But he was brilliant in this game.
Also, the Italian striker is now out of the squad.
Pele
is out of the squad because he refused to shake the hands of the manager when he got subbed off. And he obviously apologized, but it's too late. They kicked him out, so he's not playing.
Still got to be made an example of at this point, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, he just has that long flight back to China and then roll in his cash when he gets home. And
Is this now what they need to bring back Mario Balotelli?
Nope.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Wait, he's been brilliant at Nice.
Yeah, but we do this every few months. Oh, but he's been brilliant. Bring him back in. Oh,
no,
he got a red card.
We haven't done this every month because he has not been brilliant. Literally for 2 years. I'm saying, now that Graziano Pella, who is in China and is no longer part of the squad, that's the next guy. So this is now his chance to show that he has come full circle.
Wow.
Sure.
There's no other chance that he has.
I mean, Rooney comes full circle all the time.
He is. But this is strikingly similar to what France were going through in the World Cup 2010.
With the old squad, with the aging squad.
With all the I was going to say incest, but that's completely wrong.
The infighting.
Infighting, exactly.
Would have been more fun.
But it seems like, I mean, what's the lesser of the two evils? Mario Balotelli coming back into the Italian lineup? Or Graziano Pelle, who's just disrespected?
Yeah, apologizing and just getting it over with. I see what you're saying.
We just know that if, and again, it's a little bit of that Rooney nonsense of if he can get his act together,
Mario
Balotelli is the best thing that Italy has.
So he's on course. Yeah, eight games into the season, Nice are on top of the table, but he just got a red card.
But again,
it got rescinded.
It was okay.
You guys gotta give me credit. I said
last pod that
it was absolute.
It was, yes.
But also, just on the point that he's the best thing Italy have. That was true, but now there's Belotti at Torino.
He just scored as well,
and he's brilliant, and he's like 22. Like,
he loves Torino so much.
Best thing about Italy, I mean, their pastas are quite good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what you're talking
pizza's,
about.
The pizza is also
pizza's good. Also quite good.
Yeah. Except Rashid doused his in red pepper flakes.
Yeah. And the chef almost had a heart attack.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to... we don't do Africa enough. Let's do Africa a little bit. Because mine and Bernie's team have played.
We do Moomoo of the Week every...
so Nigeria beat Zambia 2-1. And the two Premier League boys, young boys scoring. It will be Iheanacho Garnacho again from... City and Arsenal. Iwobi had scored in midweek, but in a friendly, and then now he scored his first official goal. And
he's on form. This is his breakout season, and I'm really. It's hard for me because I hate you guys at Arsenal.
Sure,
but it's just wonderful because he's Nigerian. So I always wish he does well, and your team loses.
You must feel the same about Iheanacho then.
I care less about Iheanacho for whatever reason.
Even though he's,
you know why?
He's because a Bertie.
You know, I like Iheanacho for Nigeria, same idea, but they always make this stupid Rashford-Iheanacho comparison, which I don't understand at all. So the United part of me gets angry with Iheanacho.
Anyway, so yeah, it's looking good for Nigeria with these young players. They won their game. How did you guys do in your first game? Oh, that was your first game. Okay, so that's good. So Nigeria on top of the table there.
It's a tough group, too.
It is a tough group. I mean, you've got... Who do you have? Let's see.
Algeria's in our group.
Algeria, Cameroon.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah, that's gonna be. I mean, if Algeria, Cameroon are playing right now, Algeria are one goal up, which is surprising. But you know,
On Cameroon, can we just wish Rigobert Song well? He had coma. He's come out of the coma.
Yes. Went to Germany for more tests and stuff.
But he was a big part of all our childhoods, I think. So.
Rashane named himself Rigoberto.
Rigobert, he
was a big part of.
I remember him more for his time at West Ham than Liverpool. To be fair.
Right. I remember him for beating him in an African Cup of Nations final.
Next quiz question, perhaps.
Yeah, I would have filled that quiz question.
Added to the list. Ivory Coast beat Mali 3-1. Gervinho with the third goal. Really nice finish, actually, with his left.
Where is he now?
China.
Yeah, he's in China.
Wow.
That's like southern China.
Yeah. you know what?
He got a red card recently, for absolutely stomping and bumbling somebody.
He gets really mad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Joey Barton-esque.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a bad red card, actually.
Mm.
Egypt beat Congo 2-1 away. That was, obviously Mohamed Salah. I was really annoyed that Egypt's tactics, we've been quite bad recently since the revolution and all that. The league has got really weak and all that's happening. Even though Zamalek is in the...
I was going to say, that's a high point. We should kind of talk about Zamalek in the final of the
football club. Yeah.
Yeah. Al-Zamalek. So Egypt's second biggest football club. We've got two. So Al-Ahli and Zamalek is basically the top two. Zamalek is in the African Champions League final, basically. But yeah, back to Egypt. It's the tactics right now is you hoof it up to Salah, who runs and kind of cuts it back to someone and we score. Like, there's no possession football. We're not looking good.
See, Monet, I know you're trying to be nostalgic for the days of Abu Treka and Hossam Hassan.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff. You're not there, mate. Just enjoy what you have right now.
How was El Nani?
See, that again, El Nani's a great point because a lot of Egyptians don't appreciate him as much as the Arsenal fans do because he's brilliant for us.
Right.
But it doesn't. His game doesn't suit that kind of football. Sure. His game is possession and kind of give it to a better person who does something amazing. And you're like, oh, well done. He kind of started that. But what's El Nani going to do in center mid when there's no possession whatsoever?
It's
right?
All a process.
It's all a process.
Process.
Yeah.
Philosophy.
But that pretty much covers the African roundup. Unless anyone has anything else to say.
Yaya Touré still playing football? Or
no, he retired.
No, he retired from everything.
Good for him.
Thank you, Lord.
I think his agent is retiring him, basically. Mm. Like, as much as Yaya Touré wants to play, his agent is the one that's causing his retirement at this point.
Yeah.
I've got a quick question.
Yeah.
That spans the Premier League and Africa.
Oh, wow.
How much are United going to miss Baye during the African Cup of Nations?
Very much.
Yeah, I mean... United didn't buy African players for a reason for a long time.
He's been brilliant so far, except for, I think, one or two wobbles. So then you have to go back to the Daily Blind Chris Smalling partnership, which was actually decent last season. So they will miss him a lot because they're developing a partnership now.
Mm.
But they should, in theory, be okay.
Yep. Fair enough.
Arsenal will miss Iwobi. Chelsea have anybody major?
Wait, but...
John Obi Mikel.
Did Nigeria qualify?
Nigeria didn't qualify for this African Cup, did they? So Iwobi Iheanacho...
Why do you have to bring...
Just forget that.
Yeah,
just,
no, they did not qualify.
Okay, right. So then it will be a natural, be fine. Okay, so it's just... All right. Interesting.
Stop smiling, Rashid.
It's okay, because India are not qualifying for the AFCON either. So.
Of course, yeah.
Or the Asian one.
Yeah. God, it's so unfair.
Not at all.
It is. I remember talking to this person, and they were saying that Cameroon were going to win the Euros. So, you know, anything is possible, right?
Who was that person? Invite them to our quiz night.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we also know someone who nominated Liverpool to win the World Cup, didn't we?
Yeah. Anyways, I think no that's words. A great point to move on to Momo, though.
Happy Momo. One thing we are no sha, Momo not fit sleep forever. One day, Momo go wake up.
So, we begin this week's roundup of idiots off the field, but football related. We're going to go to Ecuador, and we're going to one of the Valencias. Enner, not Tony Valencia. So, Enner Valencia is an absolute first-rate capital Momo for this. It's unbelievable. Wow. Unbelievable. So, the man owes child support, which is Momo enough, right? Like, we all agree on that.
How much?
I don't know, but it's a pretty penny, I'll tell you that. So, he owes child support, and if you haven't paid by a certain deadline in Ecuador, you get jail time for such an offense. So, the police came to arrest him. Now, this is where the police are Momos. They came to arrest him, not in training. They came to arrest him at the stadium that he was playing at.
Beating Chile 3-0.
So clearly someone snitched and told him about this. So Enner Valencia decided, I'm not going with these police. So he faked an injury. Mm. And he said the injury was so bad, he had to leave the stadium in ambulance. And technically, by law, I guess you can't arrest someone if they're in a medical situation.
Right.
But the police decided to follow the ambulance all the way into the hospital so that the second he stepped out of it, they could handcuff him and take him along.
That's amazing. Wow.
So, a long story short, they arranged some type of plea deal, and he did not leave with the police, and his case is still
there. If this was part of a movie plot, we'd be like, this is so unrealistic and stupid. Yeah. Why am I watching this?
But here, two things. One, are the police sitting there like waiting for the lineups to come out? All right, let's get him.
Surely they know about it.
Yeah. But the second thing is, surely like the Ecuadorian doctor is now in this scheme.
Yeah,
and has to be prosecuted.
He's aiding and abetting.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they get him at the airport when they first got back to Ecuador? I don't understand.
Why is he just not paying his bill?
So many questions.
All right. Something else that led to a lot of questions is that it was very publicly known that when Swansea decided to sack Gidlin, they interviewed Bob Bradley and Ryan Giggs and one other. Who was the third person? I forget. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Probably Steve Bruce.
Worse than them too, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But it was also quite publicly known that Ryan Giggs had a terrible interview. And thing is, he's come out and said that the club didn't match his ambitions. So, hang on, let me just read these quotes to you, because this just blew my mind. So he says, there I was, enjoying my year out, having done a bit of travelling and a bit of broadcasting, and I got a call from Swansea, he told ITV Sport, so I met up with them a couple times. He was probably shocked.
Yes.
Sorry, he makes it sound like it was such an inconvenience for him to leave the beach to go interview for a bloody
Premier
job.
League club. Yeah.
But in the end, there were just mixed messages, really, from the football side and the ownership side of the club. And I just felt that their ambitions didn't really match mine, so it didn't quite work out.
Did he say what his ambitions are?
No, I'm not
sure. To win the league.
Win the league.
Win the Champions League.
I feel like there's something else at play. Ryan Giggs is involved, so he could have shagged someone's wife.
That may be true.
He could have. That's how terrible the interview was.
Shows up to the job interview, realize he's shagged all of the panel's wives.
I'm sorry. If you're Ryan Giggs, right, you've managed four games. Like I mentioned earlier, that interim basis.
Barely.
If Cardiff, like he's from there, right? If Cardiff or Aston Villa, who are looking for managers right now, said please do it, he should walk like on hands and knees and beg for the jobs. Like what is wrong? He hasn't done anything. He doesn't deserve anything.
No.
Yeah.
But he's entitled, that's why he's moving. He's an entitled prick.
It's bizarre, and Robbie Savage was on the radio the other day, I mean, everyone knows this, but saying that he didn't even need an interview, and then B saying that he should manage at the Premier League level because that's the level he played at, and he would be worse off in lower divisions because he doesn't have any experience of them.
Arsene Wenger played left back at like a horrendous level, and look at him
radio
now.
Radio didn't even play.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just unbelievable. And
you have to work your way up. That's
you can't logic it. It's Momo.
I've also got a Momo. It's the FC Zorya Luhansk's chief.
Is the name the Momo? Or is it the story? Straight already.
His name is Sergei Rafailov, perhaps former KGB. I'm certain at this point. But long story short, Zorya played United recently in the Europa League and lost 1-0 at Old Trafford, after which the chief decided to go out for a walk in the city.
He needs to clear his head.
Yeah. Who knows if he was in a group or not, but he was out in the city walking around, and he saw what he describes as Manchester being a very dirty city where men kiss in the street and it's full of drunks.
I mean, to be fair, it is full of drugs, but so is every city in England. And I don't like half of Ukrainians and Russians die at like 34 from over vodka consumption or something.
They're in Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Incidentally, in the city centre, there were homeless people sleeping on the pavement.
I want to go to Ukraine and see what it looks like. Because he's making it seem like he's coming from the heavens and like visiting United for a week.
Homeless people everywhere.
Anyways.
Yeah. Just some casual homophobia and like,
complete bell end. I'm imagining this fat dude just walking around thinking like he owns everything.
So clearly his view of Manchester is different from the song that we sing.
Oh, yeah.
Which I won't repeat here. But
no, you
know
can't.
What I
yes,
mean.
Yes,
full
exactly.
Full of wonderful things.
It is, and we were there, and we can attest to that.
Yeah, there were some wonderful things. Yeah.
Yes, Costa's coffee.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That was great.
I've got the last Momo here, which comes from Norway. Really eclectic. The manager of some local Norwegian team decided that he has a 20-year plan to improve his team. Which, you know what? Is great.
Mm-hmm.
This is Arsene Wenger stuff now.
It's a long-term
plan. Oh, definitely. I mean, he needs a board to back him up here.
Mm-hmm.
But his plan for the next 20 years is to impregnate the players' wives and girlfriends with the sperm of Zlatan and Cristiano.
Dear Lord.
He actually, like this is not a joke. Like, this is not a Trump kind of video under the table.
Mm.
This isn't, no. This is him doing a proper video on YouTube saying, this is my 20-year plan.
Mm-hmm. And calling for help.
And calling for help. I mean, I'm not sure what the help is. I mean, there's two forms of help. One is Zlatan and Cristiano donating.
Mm-hmm.
And two is the girlfriends and the wives agreeing to this.
Well, there's a third element to this.
Mm.
Is that if Zlatan and Cristiano do not agree to just to provide the sperm, that he has to get it somehow.
Yes.
And this could mean, you know, employing some ladies of the night,
surrogates
or Moroccan people to to help out to get this.
Yeah. Next time Cristiano's in Morocco.
I'm just saying.
Just a quick thing.
There are so many ways that this could go wrong.
Okay, see, to be fair,
yeah,
Brady brings up a few solutions here, which is, I was confused about what do you mean by asking for help, but this is what he's looking for.
Yeah,
sure.
It's this kind of planning.
I mean, let's take this further, right? Let's say Bernie's solutions.
By the way, I don't mind name attached to these. So
sure.
Is this presented by Allardyce on a PowerPoint?
It should be. Let's say they work out, right? The plan works. You've got 20 little... Team is top heavy. Who's doing the defending?
Oh, that's true.
Useless.
Ah, that's very good. Yes.
No balance.
Well, I mean, you need some Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
Now he's going to ask for more semen from...
Pulis. From Tony Pulis.
From Sergio Ramos.
Oh, God.
Yeah. No, please not him.
No, but Tony Pulis, I'd say.
Like Thiago Silva or something.
Yeah. I mean,
hopefully not that.
Have you gone too far?
I'm stunned into silence.
I mean, it's Moomoo. We might as well partake a little bit in the Moomoo-ness. All right. Wait, are we ending the pod on a Moomoo for the first time ever?
No, let's do an outro or something.
Okay.
I'll be Moomoo.
Right, I'm sorry to spring this on you guys, but this time, it was either last year or 2 years ago, actually. It might have been 2 years ago. I wrote a poem about how shit the international break is.
You wrote a what?
Yeah.
A poem?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I thought I'd share it with you.
Please do.
Sure.
Is that right?
Do we have a choice?
No.
Hit me with your best shot.
Ooh.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
I can't do that after the sperm conversation. It's just... Anyway. Right, here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
It comes out of nowhere, like it does every year. It startles us with its coming and moves us nearly to tears.
Wow.
Because just as we get used to our normal routine, it crashes into our lives like a teen drama queen.
Oh dear.
The stuff is important, it says when it arrives. For the good of the game, to let our lads thrive.
Oh.
For where else would you get to see Fabian Delph nip past a Norwegian as quick as an elf? See, this is 2 years ago. And so we sit and we wait and we talk about games, about how England must start from scratch once again. Go back to grassroots, play Rooney out wide. This side are no better than a Sunday pub side. There's anger, there's tension. There's a certain malaise that comes from seeing England's dreary displays. From seeing 442 and the standard brass band.
Wow.
From there being less than 30,000 fans in the stand.
Great.
But the week will tick on and Saturday draws near. And we'll once more get excited as the league clicks into gear. There's Arsenal and City and Liverpool against Villa. There'll be 6-goal romps and last minute winners. And even Michael Owen can't ruin this now. As Sky Sports News takes us all round the grounds. And by the time Silva beats Flamini with a shimmy and shake, we'll have forgotten all about that fucking international break.
That was well done. And I love the references from 2 years ago.
Yeah,
so
really on the left.
Yeah.
It's more like Rooney on left stands. Like left stadium.
Left out of the team.
Yeah. Well done, Alex. Good stuff.
Cheers.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.